All right, how are we doing now? Better? How are we doing now? Good. All right, good. Got you all awake. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about strongholds. Second Corinthians chapter 10, strongholds. And I'm going to start here, but then we're going to end up in some other passages. We're going to read a lot of verses today. If you can listen along, you can try to find them all if you're pretty familiar with the Bible. But we'll be using a lot of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." All right, we're going to start here, and we're going to talk about strongholds in our lives, and we're going to try to help you today with the stronghold of weakness. Let's pray together. Father, we want to break down the strongholds, but I think we need your wisdom to do it, Lord. And we know your word has great wisdom. Lord, we need it, Father. We have a troubled, busy mind, Father, and in a chaotic world, Lord. We need you to help us, Father. And we know your word, the entrance of thy word, giveth light. We pray now that you'd please help us, Father, and speak to our hearts. And I pray that we would hear from you, and I pray that we would know that you've spoken to us. And I pray today that the strongholds the devil has built up in our life and his demons and the world, Lord, today would be broken down. And I pray we'd have the wisdom to do it and the will to do it, Father. And I pray today that the stronghold of weakness, Father, would be broken down. Please, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me the words to say and speak through me, Lord. I do need you and I need your spirit. Please speak through me now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage, we see a few things. See, first of all, we have strongholds. Strongholds are like a fortress, and you have fortresses in your life, and we get them from several places. We get them from our families that we were brought up. We get them from sins that we do in our lives. We get them from bad habits. We get them from genetics, some of them, and we get them from a lot of different areas, and that's not the message today. But those strongholds, the Bible says we are supposed to destroy those strongholds. It says three different things here. It says pulling down, first of all. It uses that phrase. Then it uses casting down. It says the weapons of God are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Then it says bringing into captivity in verse 5. So you got pulling down, casting down, and bringing into captivity. In other words, you see that there are strongholds, but you're supposed to attack them and pull them down. It is strength, attack, and victory. You're supposed to be strong. The strongholds are strong, or they wouldn't be called strongholds. They'd be called weak holds. But it's a stronghold in your life, and you're supposed to be able to pull that stronghold down. And the Bible says you should do that, and you're supposed to cast these things down and have victory over them. We live in a generation of people who've decided to be victims of their strongholds, and of people who excuse it, and people say, "That's the way I am," or "That's the way I was brought up," or "That's just my circumstances," and I'm going to go ahead and allow those strongholds, but understand you will be victim to that your whole life. And it will not only affect your spiritual life, it'll affect every area of your life. For example, the stronghold today of weakness, it'll affect your finances. It'll affect your marriage. You'll be a bad parent. It'll affect all kinds of things. And these strongholds, the devil, and I illustrated it last Sunday night, as your land, you're a king in the land of your life, but in the middle of your land, the devil's built up a giant fortress with a bunch of enemies, with arrows and bows and catapults, and you seem to get defeated by the same enemies, although you may not connect that a defeat in your marriage and a defeat in your job situation and a defeat in your finances might all be related, but they might all be one stronghold continuing to defeat you in many different ways. And we're supposed to bring down these strongholds. There's three types of strongholds, we said. One type of stronghold is personal strongholds. Somebody has a problem, a stronghold of lust in their life. They have a stronghold of bitterness in their life. There are different types of strongholds, and that's your personal thing. But in the Bible, there's a lot of family strongholds. If I said, "What's a stronghold of your family that's destroyed person after person?" Many of you would say this. You'd say bitterness. You might say adultery. You might say laziness. You might say alcohol. You might say drugs, but there are strongholds in our lives. And a stronghold might not be what we'd call a big, evil, nasty sin, but it's something that destroys us and something that continues to do that. And it gets passed on from the father to the son, to the mother to the daughter, from generation to generation. And sometimes you have a stronghold in your life, and you might not continue to be defeated in every area by that stronghold, but all of a sudden you see your kids with the same things you got from your parents and say, no, you're not supposed to have that. But we as Christians can break the strongholds. We had a stronghold of alcohol in my family and got passed down to me, and it got ended with me. My kids had never touched alcohol, and they never tasted it, and I haven't had any alcohol for 24 years, I guess it is. But growing up, I was already drinking pretty heavy. My dad was an alcoholic, and that was passed on. And that stronghold, fortunately, I was able to break that. Now, wait a minute. I could let it be built back up, and I could do it again, and we could have strongholds again in our family of that. So you have family strongholds. Number three, there's national strongholds. And we're not going to really talk about that much, but nations get destroyed by the same things. And we have that. So we're supposed to cast them down. Let me take you back to Romans. All this is introduction. Romans chapter 4. I'm just introducing strongholds briefly again, and then I'm going to go into a stronghold now that we're going to deal with today. And tonight, we'll deal with a different stronghold. And tonight is a strong, or this morning is a stronghold of weakness. Tonight, by the way, will be the stronghold of strength. Strength defeats some people. It's a different stronghold. Romans chapter 4, and down to verse 19, it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." It says, Abraham did not consider the weakness. He did not have weakness of faith. Being not weak in faith, he did not get destroyed because he was weak in faith. And go forward to Romans 14 and verse 1. "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." And then Romans 15, 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Stronghold of weakness. And there are three types of weakness, and let me just explain this for a sec. There's three types of weaknesses basically in the Bible. And the stronghold that gets built up in our life is a stronghold of weakness. Let me say this, and I don't say this unkindly or meanly. There is a dearth, there is a plague, a huge amount of weakness in America today. This stronghold of weakness is incredible how many people I talk to that have this. It makes counseling next to impossible because of weakness. People come and say, "You know what, I have this problem." And I'll say, "Okay, here's a solution. I can't do that." "Okay, what do you want then?" "Well, I want my problem gone. I just don't want it to be hard to get rid of it." "That's too hard. You know what? Here's how you fix your marriage." "Oh, you know what? That just won't work. I can't do that." "You want to, you know, it's funny, the Bible, you know, the Bible says the way to quit lying is? It says, tell the truth." "It says, you know how to quit stealing?" "The Bible says this, that not to steal, it says that every man labor with his hands working that which is good." Everything in life is not a pill. That's the pharmaceutical industry and the psychological industry has all told you. If you got a problem, here's a pill. Take it, you know, everything's fine. Life isn't always that easy. They just found a great pill that was great for diabetics, and they also found out that it gave 78,000 heart attacks in the last 10 years. Everything is not just, okay, fixed. That's what it's like on TV. You know, in the whole process of the show, in the half hour, goes from bad, and then all of a sudden it goes good, and at the end, everything's wonderful. And the guy rides off in the sunset with a pretty girl. Life's not always that easy. And not all the problems you have to solve are that easy. And there's so much weakness. And I mean, the guy might be able to bench press 600 pounds. He's a big, beefy guy. And he says, "It's really tough out there. I can't do that." And it's just weakness. And everybody wants to find solutions to everything in life without having to do things that are hard. If you want to do anything great, you cannot be weak. If you want to fix things in your life, you want to do great things for God, you want to do great things in life, you cannot be weak in life. Life has trials, and the trials buckle weak people. And in America, we are so soft because everything's so easy. Oh, no, I can't pay my bills. I'll just call the government. They'll take care of me. Oh, I'm having a hard time with my marriage. I'll just get divorced. Everybody just says, easy pass. I can just do this. Somebody will take care of me. Something will work out okay. I can just call mommy. You're an adult. Don't call mommy. That went over great. See what I mean? And we're just living so much weakness. There's so much of it. Three types of weakness in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be awfully lonely up here today. But I'm not weak. I can handle it, and I can whoop any of you. Three types of weakness. First type of weakness is faith. We just read that, being not weak in faith. Abraham was not weak in faith, but many people are weak in faith, and you got to take care of them. You got to be very careful around them. You got to make sure you don't offend them. You got to do a bunch of things for weak people who are weak in faith. And it says we got to bear the infirmities. Some people are weak and you got to take care of them. They can't handle it. We've got to not, those of you who are strong have to take care of the weak people. That's what the Bible says, because some are weak. And weak in faith, it says four different times here in Romans, weak in faith. Secondly, we see, we got seats for them. Good. Secondly, we see another type of weakness is weakness of the heart. Let me take it back to Ezekiel. We preached a message on this not too long ago. Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 16. And verse 30, we preach a whole message on this. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing that thou doest all these things, and the work of impetuous, whorish woman. How weak is your heart? A weak heart, I'm not talking about a physically weak heart. Nothing in the message today is about physical things. It's not about you being physically weak. Nothing about you being, your heart being weak or having some disease. It's about spiritually or emotionally or mentally being weak. And having a weak heart. Think of it, one of the most tragic stories I ever heard was a man in a church in Indiana who was paralyzed, just got paralyzed. Fell down, broke his neck. And was paralyzed, and he was in a room with another man who just got paralyzed, and his wife, the man in our church, his wife was supportive and came in there and loved him and took care of him, and family was there for him. This other man, he was in a bed, paralyzed from the neck down, and an injury, and it was a hospital for people who got paralyzed. The other man's wife came in, and she walked in, and she looked at him, and she says, "They just told me that you're never going to move below your neck again," and she literally took her ring off and just says, "I can't handle that." And she dropped the ring in the bed and left. And she just said, "Can't do it." It's called a weak heart. A weak heart. Some guy gets married and says, "Till death do us part." And here comes a pretty girl and says, "Till her do us part." Somebody else says, "I love God with all my heart." And all of a sudden a job with real good money comes along. Says, "You know what? If I work on Sunday, you know how much money I'm going to make?" How weak is your heart? You can't love God more than your money. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's a very weak heart that says, "I love you, Jesus, everything I have, but I'm really busy and I don't have time to serve you." It's a very weak heart. We have a lot of weak hearts today. Not devoted, not ready to do anything, not strong, not firm. I have set my heart, the Bible talks about. My heart is fixed in Psalms. A strong heart is not going to be moved away from God. If riches increase, I'm not going to follow God. I'm not going to forsake God. I have my heart set on God. If I have a hard time, my family has a hard time, I love my family. My heart is fixed. I have a strong heart. Yet many people, as soon as it gets tough in the marriage, many parents, as soon as their kid turns bad for a little bit, listen, we have a lot of weak hearts. God says to Israel here, "How weak is your heart that you can go and leave me after all I've done for you? How can you leave me?" And I don't understand how Christians can leave God after all. He gave his son for them. But it's weak hearts. It's, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, oh, shiny objects." And that's just the way they are, just weak, weak hearts. And God says some people have weak hearts. Third thing that we have weakness in is our strength. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. And boy, I'm willing to get myself in trouble on this one. Pet peeve of mine. Proverbs 24. But I'm already in trouble, so what's a little more trouble? Proverbs 24. Verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Can I just tell you something, folks? People are wimpy nowadays. Can't handle anything. Can't handle anything. I mean, all of a sudden you get a big bill, and it's like, look at this bill, what am I going to... Fellas, please don't go whining to your wife if you get a big bill. Don't expect the respect. Honey, they sent me a big bill. Honey, they weren't nice to me at work. What do you want her to do? I'll go protect you, honey. What do you want from her? It is, we are so wimpy. And then Johnny stands up to mommy, women, while you're laughing at the men nowadays, and by the way, men are wimpy nowadays. But you women, your little Johnny comes to you in the supermarket. I want the candy bar, I want the candy bar, I want the candy bar. No, Johnny, you get the candy bar. I get that candy bar, give me that candy bar, give it. No, Johnny, candy bar. Okay, fine, here you go, Johnny. You wimp. You wimp. We are so weak. I'll leave the shopping cart. I'll tip the shopping cart over on him. We're going to the car. We're going to the car. And he's going to get such a whooping that the next time he'll be scared to death to do that. Say, well, my kids, strong wills. If you had my kids, you'd be dead. My kids are strong-willed. I've never met a parent who didn't say their kids are strong-willed. All kids are strong-willed. That's why they need whoopings. But we got too weak of parents to do that. Well, okay, I'll give you the video game console. Just quit yelling at me. You're the parent? Weakness. A pastor, I can't come to church this Sunday. I had a really rough week. How do I say spiritually and nicely, wimp? Thou weak-hearted individual? Thou that does not tough it out for your Jesus? Aren't you glad Jesus going to the cross didn't say, I think they're going to hurt me. I'm not going to go. Oh, it's been a really rough week. I can't go to church. It's really hard to read my Bible. It's tough. I'm very busy and I'm tired. So read your Bible while you're tired. Pray when you don't feel like it. Tough it out. Don't be a wimp. If thou faint in the day of adversity, when all the trials come, you get mad and say, I'm not going to serve you anymore, God. It's been too tough. You know what? My child had some health issues. I'm not going to serve you anymore. It's not right. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength indeed is small. Well, you know what? My spouse all of a sudden is struggling. You know what? My family's criticizing me for serving God, and they're making fun of me. I'm not going to serve God anymore. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength indeed is small. Why do the Christians overseas, their family holds a funeral for them because they said, you're serving God, you're not a member of our family anymore, and they come to church with a smile on their face next Sunday? Why did some martyrs go and run toward the lions? We are weak. Our strength is weak. We cannot handle hard times. We buckle, we fold. We don't sing when peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Lord, I know my two daughters just got washed over into the ocean, but it's okay. I can handle it. You're a good God. We don't have that anymore. We have very weak people. They're weak in their hearts, they're weak in their faith, they're weak in their strength, and many people struggle with that. And many of you, it's not your fault. Your parents are weak. They buckled to the hard times of life. They gave in. And they every time a hard time came, when the going gets rough, the rough duck and cry and whine and bundle up in a ball and say, somebody in the government, take care of me. Some neighbor, take care of me. Somebody, take care of me. I can't handle it. You learn that stuff. It's amazing when you read the things that have happened in history. One of the things that history does is it makes you realize it's not so bad for you. We're reading the book Onward to Oregon. 8 kids, I believe, crossing the Oregon Trail. Dad died. Got separated from the rest of the wagons because they couldn't go fast enough. Mom died. They had a baby, infant baby. Oldest boy was 13. And he said, okay, we're going the rest of the way. Tie up the cow, we're going. And they crossed the Rocky Mountains with the oldest being 13 years old and an infant and a cow walking behind them with a wagon. And they made it to Oregon. You look at history, it's an amazing thing how tough human beings can be, how they can handle things and endure things. It's amazing, though, when you get weak, how everything buckles you. Your job buckled you, your finances buckled you, your relationship buckled you, somebody criticized you. And you know what? People can't take criticism anymore. You criticize me, I'm never going to talk to you again. That's it. You know people like that? You can't take criticism. You know, sometimes you need criticism. You need to be told, you're messing up. Knock it off. And you don't hate the people for it. Say, thank you for being the one that loves me enough to tell me that. We become so weak, and the stronghold of weakness is so much in our lives today. We must have strength to obey anything God calls us to do in our faith. God says, I want you to go be a missionary to Zaire. And you say, where is Zaire? And how am I going to get there? And I think that they're very hungry and very poor there. They are. And you know what? I don't know how I'm going to take care of it. And I don't think I'll be okay. And I don't know how I'm going to, I don't have any way. And a person who's strong in faith says, okay, I think Zaire is West Africa. I'm going to figure out where it is. I'm going to look at a map. And I say, yes, Lord, I'm going there, wherever it is. I'm trusting you. I believe you can do it. That's strong in faith. Yet some of us, as soon as we don't have a guaranteed check coming in, we are panicked. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Ah! Strong in faith says, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be strong and trust you. That's strong in faith. You don't have to know the way. It's called faith. You trust God. You could be a missionary. You could do anything. You could handle anything. You don't care if the economy dumps tomorrow and we go to 25% unemployment. We have a depression tomorrow. You're saying, you know what? It'll be fine. God's in control. You trust God. You're strong in faith. We need to be strong to be able to choose to love God, number one. We don't love money, we don't love our job, we don't love our spouse, we don't love our children, any of those above God. We don't love the things of this world. The Bible says you must choose to be strong in your heart enough to love God first. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible says you need to choose what to love. Strong enough that when somebody is attractive to you, you say, you know what? I'm taking my heart and I'm not going to fall in love with that person. I'm attaching my love to that person. Boy, that trinket looks fun, and I really like that, and that'd be great, and that'd be wonderful, but you know what? God doesn't want me to have that, so I'm not going to attach my heart to it. You know how hard it is to deny your heart? You know how hard it is to not say, you know what? I really want this money, and I really want this, but my heart is set on that, but I'm going to control my heart and take my heart strong enough to love God in a world that gives you everything and gives you a chance to have everything you want. Strength to choose what not to love. Stuff. Strength to be strong like martyrs. Strong enough to go to church when you're tired. Strong enough to love somebody when they're hard to love. That's not easy. Strong enough to love your enemies and let them smite you on one cheek and give me your other cheek also. Strong enough when you don't have the money for it to say, no, I don't have the money for that. I'm not going to buy it. Strong enough that when you don't have the money for something, you say, I'm going to be strong enough not to buy it. Strong enough that when you don't have the money for something, you decide, you know what? I don't have the money. I'm not going to buy it. These little guys right here. I'd show you the front, but you'd see my card number. And I don't trust all of you. And the expiration date. I got over $20,000 in this little guy credit I can go spend right now. But I can't afford it. What do? I really got to have it. Oh, is it food? Well, no. But you know that car's got heated seats. What a dumb option. And you know what? You wouldn't believe the stereo it's got in it. And the wheels spin while you're sitting still. It is the coolest thing. And you can't afford it. But you know what? It's the coolest new game, and I've got to have the newest game. Do you know how stupid the games were when I was a kid? And we loved them. How many of you ever played Atari 2600? You the man. And that is the best right there. And combat. You kids would play combat, and you were a little tank, and it was a little square. And you shoot the tanks, and they went, and we thought it was the best. And now your kids say, you know what? I don't have a PlayStation 27. I want to get a PlayStation 26. What am I going to do? You're an abusive parent. Well, if you want to be an abusive parent, let me go ahead and do that so we get the title right. But it's amazing. You don't have to have the things you think you have to have. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's all I need is food and clothing. You don't have to have all the garbage and junk. And people are not strong enough to not spend money they don't have. You must have strength greater than your passion. You must have strength stronger than your doubt and strength stronger than your hard times. Illustrate it this way. Your life and what you are like and what you face is like a river. Let's take your passion for a moment. We're going to talk about passion because that's where a lot of people don't have strength enough to control their passion. Your passion is a river. Some people have a little bit of passion. Some people are very passionate people. And that is a river that comes down, and you've got to be able to control your passion. Your passion may be a creek. It may be the Columbia River. It might be something huge. You've got to be, your strength is the dam that says, no, I'm not going to let all of you go through right now. I'll let you through as I choose and allow you to go through. Unchecked passion destroys you. Unchecked, all these things destroy you. You must be strong enough. And some of you have got a Columbia River or a big river coming down, and you go out and throw a few rocks out there, and you got a couple little rocks, and the river's roaring towards you, and you say, this is the best I got. It ain't going to stop you. And that's why you get pregnant. That's why you go ruin your life. That's why you can't say no to men. That's why you can't say no to women. That's why you can't say no to a job. That's why every time a hard time comes along, you quit on God. Because you don't have the strength to stop your passion. God gives some people great passion, but not everybody decides to be strong enough to handle it. God gives some people great trials, and they have a little tiny dam made of rocks, and here comes a raging river down, and it's not going to stop it. You've got to have a strong enough dam in your life that says, you know what, I'm going to be going through some hard times, but I can handle it, and I'm going to stop this and say, okay, I will weep when I want to weep, and I will cry when I want to cry, and be strong enough, and I will open the floodgates a little bit and let some things through, and I'm going to allow that, but I'm controlling this. Lust is like that. Passion is like that, and passion don't mean all sexual. I mean, they're emotional, intense feelings. Your anger. See, some people, and some of us have the same problem. You've got a whole bunch of anger and not enough strength to say, I'm angry, but I'm not going to sin. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. It doesn't say don't be angry. Anger's there for a reason. Or some people in this room have an incredibly bad temper and nobody knows it. I can't tell you how bad a temper I have. Let me show you. I have the worst temper. I'm the youngest in my family. My brothers and sisters are older than me. My next oldest brother is 3 years older than me. Big, strong guy. Big, strapping guy. Bench press like 325 pounds. Big, tough guy. Was an amateur boxer and stuff. And then my other brother, I was 8 years older and 10 years older, my other two. And I was a little kid And they all would beat up on me and do all the pick on me and do all those things. But there was a certain point my temper snapped. And it was cockroaches. Whoosh. They scattered. Because my temper was so bad, there was no limits of what I would do. Anything that I could throw, grab, hit, there was no limit to them. And I remember one time my brother, we had gotten a fight and he had punched me. And I was so mad, I was going to do something to him, and we're in the living room and right by the kitchen, and I lost my temper, and I'm looking for some type of weapon. I just lost it. I didn't know where I was anymore. I'm looking, and he just started, he knew I'd lost it. He's running down the hall. And the only thing I could find is I looked on the table, and there was a fork. I took that fork, whew, just like a movie, burn, right in his back. He's running, I wasn't even mad anymore. It was such an awesome throw. I said, that was awesome. Stuck in his back, the fork did. It was cool. I mean, I have a really bad temper. But you know what? My family's never seen me really lose my temper. Never. My wife's never seen me really lose my temper. They've seen me mad. They've seen me mad before. Where's my other kids? My kids have seen me mad before, but never really lose my temper. Why? Because I've got to be strong enough to control it. But the same person who can't stop, I gotta say, I'm going to tell her off. And then you spend 3 years trying to undo that wound you did. It's the same thing that makes you go to the mall and say, oh, I got to have it, and spend the money you don't have. It's the same thing that makes your kids walk all over you It's the same thing that makes you, sir, not be able to say no to a pretty girl. It's called weakness. And this big stronghold, and you might be strong, you might be tough, and you might have all kinds of muscles, but you can't stop yourself and restrain yourself. And that's a stronghold. You've got to build up a dam that's strong enough to say, I can control myself. Great illustration of this in the Bible is Samson. Let me take you to the book of Judges. Samson was a man with great passion, that God gave him great passion so he could just defeat the Philistines, but he could not control it. Judges chapter 14. And by the way, when you look at a weakness and you just say, you know what, I'm weak, you'd be amazed how a person who can say, I am weak, can become very strong when they grasp it in that way. I see many a man who are tough and strong and hard workers and good at all kinds of things, but they cannot quit drinking. And all of a sudden, I just say, you know what? You're really weak. I'm not weak. I said, good, quit drinking then. I'm not weak. Yes, you are. And quit drinking. You're weak. Can't quit smoking. Can't quit your stinking drugs. Your kids see you doing drugs. Be strong enough because you're a parent to quit doing drugs in front of your kids. And drugs at all, they're going to find out you smell like pot. Be strong enough. I'm strong. No, you're not. And when they'll say, you know what? I am weak. Usually they'll say, you know what? I'm not weak. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to overcome this thing when you decide to become strong. So you have this strength in you. But you decide not to apply your strength. You go out and pump 300 pounds and work and work and work and work and work out. And you'll scream and yell with all kinds of passion. The TV set when your team's playing. And you have all kinds of strength and madness for all kinds of things. Turn your energy that is such your bad temper and turn it towards your mad because you will not stop losing your temper. Be strong enough to control yourself. Be sober. That means under control. Be strong. Look at, watch this man with all this strength, strongest man in the history of the world, Samson. He grabs giant gates of cities and picks them up and carries them out of the city when they try to lock him in. He kills 1,000 people with a jawbone of a donkey. He's a strong guy. Physically. Watch this. If you turn to Judges, look at Judges 14, verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Verse 2 says, I have seen a woman, and I want her. It's interesting. It's a Philistine woman. Wasn't a woman supposed to have? She says, I want her. Go get her for me. We see him not being able to restrain himself because he wants a woman. He can't choose a woman. By the way, would you be strong enough to choose a spouse because of what they are and not because they said you're beautiful or handsome and because they're attractive and because you really want them? Can you be strong enough to say, you know what? I really am attracted to that person, but no, that's not who I want my kid to grow up like. I know they like me. I really like them too, but I'm going to be strong enough to say no. Can you please do that for your kid's sake? Can you do that for your own life? You know, the same person who's done that before will do that again and again. And they'll say, oh man, this is the same as the rest of the guys who beat me and been mean to me and bad to me. But you, okay, be strong. I cannot say no. I want her. Ugh, she cute. Go get her. Judges 14 and verse 9. It says, and he took thereof his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken honey out of the carcass of a lion. Samson was a Nazarite. Nazarites had a bunch of vows they had to keep for their whole life. They couldn't cut their hair and a whole bunch of things. One of the things he couldn't do was touch anything dead. It was against the law. It was against his vow. But yet, here he is, and there was honey inside of a lion that he had killed, and the bees had come along and made a honey's nest inside there, and he says, I'm hungry. And he reaches his hand there and takes the honey. Strange, what does that have to do with anything? Why did God record him taking honey? Because he violated his vows because he was weak. And how many of us are so weak we can't say no to food? You know, you don't really need some magical pill that's going to make you lose weight. it's not a magical pill. It's saying no. Less calories than I burn. The same thing that makes someone not be able to say no to food is the same thing that makes them not say no to sex. Or not be able to say no to anger. Or maybe it's the same thing. It's Samson, you can't say no to the woman. You can't say no to the food, though it's going to violate your vow. Wait till you get somewhere where you can eat. It's pathetic and it's sad to say this and it's so crazy to say it. But you know, most people's financial problems is not because they're buying a $30,000 car. It's because they can't quit buying fast food. You can't afford to eat out. Quit buying Starbucks and you can't afford it. Quit eating out all the time. But I love it. I know. And you're not strong enough to say no. Nothing wrong with eating out. Nothing wrong with Starbucks. You want to buy me one? Have at it. Caramel, what do I like? Caramel macchiato. And do it. Go ahead. Buy a Starbucks. Nothing wrong with it. You can afford it. But we're weak and we just got to get what we got to get. And there he goes again, violating a vow because of he can't control himself. Verse 16. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, "Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it of me." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told it my father and my mother. And shall I tell it thee?" And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass the seventh day he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And he told the riddle unto the children of her people. And she went and shared the riddle. And he lost the big deal he was having with their people. And he could not say no to his wife's whining. Why? Because he was weak. Same guy who could lift gates off, couldn't say no to honey, couldn't say no to a woman, couldn't say no to a woman again when she whined at him. Same reason a parent can't stand their children when they start throwing a fit, they give in. Just say to him, "Okay, Mary, whenever you're done with that fit, just let me know and then I'm going to whoop you. See you later. I can't take them crying." Be strong enough to let them cry. Bible says make your children cry. Read Proverbs. They need it. They need to cry and weep. When you spank them, they need to not get their way all the time. They need to learn that in life. Same guy, same passion, still unchecked. Chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw thereof an harlot and went in unto her. Samson, she's a prostitute. Say no. He can't. He cannot stop. And Samson, most of the time in Samson, and this is where we're going to get strongholds here for a sec even more. Most of the time with Samson, his stronghold came out in women. Some people's stronghold come out in men or women. Some of it comes out in food. Some of it comes out the most of the time in drugs. Some of it comes out most of the time in money. But you have strongholds and it comes out somehow. Samson, it always came out, and his biggest weakness is women. Sexual morality. Same guy. Chapter 16, again. And during this time, he's doing great things. And listen to me for a sec. Some of you are great people who do amazing things, but you have a stronghold, and you know what it is, and I'm talking about it, and it's time to tear it down. It's time to quit saying, "Okay, you know, I know I'm good at this and this and this and this, but I got this." Time to tear it down. Be strong. It's time to not be weak anymore. The stronghold of weakness today is what's killing many people, just like Samson. Chapter 16, verse 16, it came to pass. Let me tell you the story, and I'll read the verses. Samson's wife, Delilah, says, "Samson, tell me where your strength lies." She had men hiding in the room to come kill Samson, or to come tie him up. And she says, "Tell me where your strength lies." And he starts lying to her. He says, "Honey, it lies. If you tie me up in a certain kind of a new rope that's never been used before and is green, I'll have no more strength." She ties him up. And she yells, "Samson, there are Philistines be upon thee." And he breaks the strings. You'd think he'd get a little suspicious. "Samson, you lied to me. Oh, tell me." "Okay, if you bind up my hair with a certain kind of pin and hold it all together in a web, I won't have my strength anymore." She does it all and hooks it up. "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." Wakes up, drags everything out of his hair, and he's, "You lied to me again." "Okay, tie me with this kind of rope and I'll have strength like any other man." She ties him up. He goes to sleep. While he goes to sleep, she ties him up all these times. "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." She's a Philistine. Breaks the strings. And then she just starts bawling. "You don't love me. You don't care about me. Tell me where your real strength lies." Verse 16, it came to pass, and she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was vexed unto death. And he told, it's when you take out the duct tape. Then he told her all this sort and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I've been a Nazarene. He can't trust this woman. For my mother's womb, if it be shaven, then that my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. And Delilah saw, she told her all her heart. She called the Lord and said, I got it. He goes to sleep. She shaves his head. He wakes up. He can't fight. They poke his eyes out. He's blind, and he's a slave. Why? Because he couldn't say no to a woman again. And you know, your problem of lust that comes back up and up again, you're not strong enough to overcome. Your problem of anger, your problem of whatever it is that I'm not even talking about today. And listen, there's a lot of strongholds in this culture and a lot of strongholds in our lives. I don't say this to be mean today. I say this because I don't want us to continue these strongholds. It comes back up and defeats you again and again and again. And Samson said, you know what? I can't control myself with women. I need to fix this thing. But he didn't. And he lost his eyes and became a slave. And at the end, he killed a lot more Philistines, but his life was wasted at the end because he had a stronghold of women. He could not control himself. How dumb. Why would you continue in your life to fail the same things when you know what is the base, you know what the stronghold is? Why don't you tear it down? It is a stupidity. When we know what to do, we don't do it and don't ever deal with the real root behind our weakness. Women with bad men go back and forth. Someone with a bad temper continues to just blame other people for not treating them right, and that's why they lose their temper. Somebody who has doubts and continues to doubt and doubt and doubt will continue to doubt and doubt unless they realize, I need to fix my doubt and get my faith straight. Somebody else who has immorality, and they keep on having immorality in their life, they need to say, you know what, this is destroying me. I need to deal with this thing. Are you defeated by a weakness or a stronghold today? Today we're talking about the stronghold of weakness. Of, here comes the waves, here comes the trials of life, I've got to be able to handle these. Same person who fails at that, who fails with their anger. Same person who fails at that, fails to go to church when they're tired, because they're weak. Same person who fails that, I cannot stop listening to that music, I just love it. Be strong enough to quit listening to that music. It's not godly music. You got to be strong enough. And I believe every single person here is strong enough. If all of a sudden somebody came to kill your kids, you'd find out you're real strong and real determined. Wouldn't you? Take that determination that God put in your heart that is strong enough to fight somebody, even if you're beaten up and hurt and wounded, you'd still keep on fighting and clawing. Take that same strength you have and apply it and tear down your stronghold. Get determined. Say, I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to do that anymore. One last verse. I'm going to take it to Ephesians chapter 6. How do I tear down a stronghold, Pastor Byram? I've been a Christian for a long time, and I'm a pretty strong Christian in most ways, but there is a stronghold in the middle of my life. I've got to attack it. How do I do it? Ephesians 6. The first thing you said is the right answer. Attack it. Attack it. Don't be content with your stronghold. Attack it. And realize there is a stronghold. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. If your stronghold is weakness, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Be strong in God. Let God give you his strength. You're not strong enough to overcome yourself. That's weird. My biggest problem is not the outside world. My biggest problem isn't the temptation. My biggest problem is me. I choose to do bad things. I'm not strong enough to overcome me, but through God's strength. Be strong in the Lord. If your weakness is weakness, if your stronghold is weakness, you need to get God's strength in you. It says right here, be strong in the Lord, a power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Get God's strength. It's by getting the armor of God on you and asking God for his strength. Tonight we'll talk more about that, but his strength is made perfect in weakness. When some of you get to the point where you suddenly say, and some of us have gotten the point, and some of you know what I'm talking about because you're just like me, and you've been there, and you've said, Lord, I can't do this. I need your strength. His strength is made perfect in weakness. When you realize you can't do it, and you depend on God. Instead of being over here and saying, you know, I sure the worst luck with men. You know, everyone is so irritating in the world, and they all make me lose my temper. you know what? I had the worst luck with finances. When you stop that and say, I am so weak, Lord. I need your strength. I need to be very careful to go to church a lot because I'm weak. I need to read a Bible a lot. I need to pray. I need your strength, God. I need to take on your armor. When you do that, you get God's strength, and God's strength will give you the victory over yourself. You know, it's great to be able to have victory over yourself, and God will help you. And the Bible says, tear down those strongholds and bring every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ, and it's a great life to get victory. And it's not fun to be destroyed by the same stronghold again and again and again and again and again. And especially the stronghold of weakness, because the devil will send people in your life who will take advantage of your weakness. The devil will send people in your life to take advantage of your weakness every time until you get strong enough to stand up and say, no, you're always going to be taken advantage of. Is your stronghold today weakness? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray today that some very strong people in many ways would decide that they aren't going to be defeated by that same fortress of weakness in our life, Lord. First of all, we need to be saved. Lord, secondly, we need to really get your strength in our life. We need to acknowledge the stronghold in our lives and deal with it. Lord, your great servant who did amazing things, Samson, never really fixed the stronghold the devil had in his life. He couldn't control his passion. The dam was too small and too weak. Yes, his passion made him kill thousands of Philistines, but it also made him get destroyed in the end. Because he's weak with women, Lord. I pray today that those of us who have a weakness, Lord, and Lord, some people in here are very strong, they're great workers, they have successful careers, they go to their finances, but there's some weak area of their life. All of us, Lord, are weak sometimes. We cannot handle hard things sometimes, Lord. We have pretty easy lives. And Lord, I pray today we decide to be strong. I pray today we'd attack our strongholds. And Lord, especially the stronghold of weakness today, Lord.